After 200 years of neutrality, Sweden is poised to embrace a military alliance with the North Atlantic Treaty Organisation. Following hot on the heels of neighbour Finland, Sweden's ruling Social Democrats Party yesterday announced they were abandoning their previous opposition to membership in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
Our 200-year-long standing policy of military non-alignment has served Sweden well, but the issue at hand is whether military non-alignment will keep serving as well. And Russia's unprovoked invasion of Ukraine is not only illegal and indefensible, it also undermines the European security order that Sweden builds its security on.
That's Sweden's Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson speaking yesterday. She's expected to be presenting her proposal to Parliament today, and both Sweden and Finland will submit a joint membership application to the 30-member alliance as soon as decisions are ratified. Well, Dr. Robert Dolce is the Director of Studies at the Swedish Defence Research Agency, and he joins me now from Stockholm. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thank you.
Sweden has not been engaged in warfare for more than 200 years. It's taken pride, really, in its neutrality, and is very much against nuclear weapons and drastically downsized its military after the fall of the Soviet Union. So how big a shift, if you like, in mindset does this represent?
It represents a big shift, but only for those who believed in the idealistic version of neutrality, or in that mankind had turned a corner after the Berlin Wall. Because there has always been a strain to our thinking that is not quite as idealistic, and that has... during the Cold War, our neutrality was very much an armed neutrality.
So is this a case of Finland, you know, joining so that Sweden has to follow? And will the two nations be lodging a joint application?
Yes, I think we will be more or less lodging a joint application. And this is, in a way, a sign of how tightly connected Sweden and Finland are, a bit like Australia and New Zealand. And you can say that politically, of course, the fact that Finland joins has prompted this shift in the Social Democrats. But geopolitically, we needed to join NATO anyhow.
Would there be anything in a joint application that binds Finland and Sweden in ways that the sort of the individual applications wouldn't?
No, not really. I mean, there will be two individual applications, but they will be delivered at the same time, so to say. But for formal reasons, they have to be individual.
I have seen some criticism of this union on Twitter, suggesting, which is not always the greatest source of academic rigor, let's say that up front, but the criticism goes to this obligation to protect Sweden with its population of, what, 10.5 million and $7 billion of annual spend on defence being very lopsided. To quote, this isn't an alliance, it's a protectorate obligation. What's your response to that?
Well, the Swedes have a reputation for trying to eat their cake and keep it too. And we did very much downsize our defenses after the fall of the Berlin Wall, because we, like most of Europe, thought that eternal peace had broken out. But we have a track record of having a strong defense and spending strongly for defense during the Cold War, and we're working up towards that level again.
Because Sweden had already increased its military spending in the last decade with NATO membership, will you expect that to ramp up? And will that be a hard sell for ordinary Swedes, or they will take it as a necessary step?
Ordinary Swedes have seen what happens in Ukraine, and they realize it's a dangerous situation. So there's strong political support now for raising defense spending radically up to a 2% level. And it's just a question of whether we should hit 2% by 2025 or 2028.
On RN Drive, I'm speaking with Dr. Robert Dolce, who's from the Swedish Defence Research Agency, about the dramatic geopolitical shift that's poised to take place in the Nordic regions, with Finland and Sweden both set to join the North Atlantic Treaty Organisation. And Robert, of course, there is an argument that this partnership will just further provoke Russia. Will you think that that's justification for committing to this treaty? I mean, on one hand, you feel like you're vulnerable, but then if you don't, then what are those choices?
I think we're well past that point. Obviously, Russia consider Ukraine's existence as a free and independent state a sufficient provocation to launch a brutal war against it. And this means that neither Sweden nor Finland can trust by avoiding to provoke Russia in any sensible sense of the meaning, avoiding provocation, that we could be safe from Russian attacks. So basically, we're shifting tracks from staying low to seeking cover in the crowd of the NATO alliance.
Before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, how would you have characterized Sweden's relationship with Russia?
I would say they were tense long before the invasion. They've been tense because Swedes object to Russian attacks on Ukraine, Crimea, on Georgia, and also tense because Swedes believe strongly in things like democracy and human rights, and the increased repression in Russia has not gone down well with the Swedish population.
So how fast could these applications be processed, and how quickly do you think Sweden and Finland could be admitted?
It depends, of course, if there are any hiccups on the road, but I think we and several NATO allies have greased the track. So if everything runs smoothly, the applications could be processed ahead of NATO's summit in late June, and then that would remain the ratification. But in case there are hiccups, then of course there would be delays.
I noticed that Turkey has expressed reservations about Sweden joining. What hidden geopolitical tensions exist there that we might not be aware of?
I'm not a Turkey specialist, but I understand from colleagues who know better, and of course from reading the papers, that Turkey has a chip on its shoulder and sometimes uses different NATO processes to make its dissatisfaction known. So this may be connected to issues unrelated to Sweden. But if it's related to Sweden, it might have to do with Swedish support for Kurds, especially Kurds in Syria, which the Erdogan regime are considered hostile.
And just lastly and briefly, if you can, I mean, Ukraine's president has gone cool on the question of his joining NATO. Do you think that if Sweden and Finland join, Ukraine might then as well?
I think the most important thing there will be if Ukraine can lead this war to a victory over Russia, then things will change. I think Ukraine has cooled on NATO membership because they have been snubbed. And of course, being snubbed feels even worse if Sweden and Finland can join very easily.
Mm.
But the reason for Ukraine being snubbed is NATO fears taking in a country so much in conflict with Russia. So if Ukraine wins this war, then things will change.
Look, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for your time. Dr. Robert Dolce is the Director of Studies at the Swedish Defence Research Agency. I'm Andy Park. It's RN Drive.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music, and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.